Hello and welcome. This is Passionate Nutrition Radio, and I'm your host, Jennifer Adler. I've been a nutritionist for more than a decade, and I'm the founder of Passionate Nutrition, a nutrition practice with 9 locations throughout the greater Puget Sound area. Since beginning my practice, I've helped clients lower their cholesterol, combat depression, treat cancer, reverse diabetes, lose weight, and completely transform their lives with nutrition. Food is medicine, and on Passionate Nutrition, I'll answer your nutritional questions and talk about what foods promote wellness and vitality. This is a call-in show, so please feel free to reach out to us at any time throughout the show. We welcome any and all questions and stories you'd like to share, and we'd love to hear from you. Our call-in number is 425-373-5527 or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-KKNW. That's 5569. Thank you so much for joining me today. On today's show, we'll be talking all about inflammation. Inflammation is a buzzword these days, and the anti-inflammation diet has become increasingly popular. So on today's show, we'll explain what inflammation is in our body, and we'll talk about steps that you can take to decrease it. Because inflammation has been linked in with so many diseases, whether it's heart disease, diabetes, cancer, autoimmune disease, even to things like wrinkled or sagging skin. So today on our show, we'll talk about practical things that you can do to bring down the inflammation in your body and promote overall better health and keep age-related diseases or things that we think of as being age-related at bay. So I've invited Denise Allen, one of Passionate Nutrition's wonderful nutritionists, on our show today, and you can learn more about Denise on our site, passionatenutrition.com. So Denise, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And before we begin, can you tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself? Like how long or what inspired you to become a nutritionist in the first place?
You know, nutrition has always been an interest of mine since I was pretty young. And I just have been going through life, and it kept coming up how much I really enjoy the topic. I really like learning about it. Life experiences influenced my need to turn to nutrition for making changes in my life and also in my family members' lives. So it's definitely been a lifelong journey that has led me to pursue nutrition, and I changed careers. I was working in more of a social service profession before, and then decided that I just really needed to go with what I was passionate about, and that was passionate about health and nutrition, and that led me to pursue getting my master's that past year, and in the process, I also became a registered dietitian, and have really been looking forward to and enjoying working with people to help them improve their nutrition, to improve their overall health.
And how would you describe your approach to nutrition?
I think I really try to provide a realistic approach that's very supportive and kind of meets the person where they are at and takes into consideration their needs, their preferences, their lifestyle, to just really fine-tune it for their needs to be the most beneficial for their overall health and lifestyle changes.
You know, and I think that's so important that you do meet people where they're at and that it's realistic goals, because that's one of the things I think that we see over and over again as nutritionists is that people will have these goals that are too extreme, or
right,
they'll think, you know, I want to improve my health. So they take on way too much and we get very all or nothing.
Yes, and it becomes very overwhelming, and then it just leads to wanting to just throw in the towel.
Right, that's typically what happens. People are able to do that maybe for a couple of weeks, or, you know, it depends on the person how long it ends up lasting, but then, like you said, they just end up throwing in the towel because it's not sustainable and realistic. And then
exactly,
the sad thing about that is people end up feeling like a failure when the system was set up for failure, not them.
That is so true. That is a good point to make, for sure.
And what sort of clients do you work with? I mean, do you have areas of specialty, people that you...
You know, I tend to get a variety of clients. I work with people that are dealing with diabetes and or people wanting weight loss. I've worked with people that are trying to determine what what and if they're having food allergies, which also connects with the digestive issues for a lot of people. I've worked with people that have a kind of a struggle or a challenging relationship with food. So it's just been a variety of people that I've been working with.
And you see people, you see clients out of the Tacoma and the Renton office?
Yes, yes, yeah. I am at both locations.
Okay, so now to our topic of inflammation. So Denise, how do you describe to your clients what inflammation is when it comes up?
You know, I think it's really kind of taken on also a negative thought process when the word comes up. So I like to let them know that inflammation is a normal body process, and our bodies need that to heal and repair. But what happens is in this process, it can kind of be thrown off by many influencing factors, whether it's environmental, whether it's nutrition, maybe it's sleep. You know, there's a lot of contributing factors that affect the inflammation process. And so when the inflammation process is thrown off, our body doesn't get the signals that it needs to start producing what are more anti-inflammatory messages to try to really calm down the immune system. And then when this is happening, that's when we start developing more of the chronic issues with inflammation.
The chronic the chronic situations, meaning some of the disease states that we were talking about earlier?
Right, exactly.
Right. So what, if I'm understanding you correctly, so it sounds like everybody has inflammation going on. That's a natural part of our body's processing. But what happens is, for some people, it just continues. It doesn't get that message to stop.
Right, exactly. And then that starts causing more degenerative issues that start occurring. As you mentioned earlier, the different health conditions start occurring as well.
And, I mean, but really, what is inflammation? I mean, we hear that term all the time, and I think a lot of our listeners don't know what inflammation exactly is.
Well, the more acute inflammation, the inflammation that our body needs to help repair and function after maybe an injury or something has occurred, that can be what more people are aware of, where it's like the external visible symptoms. There's redness, there may be swelling, there's warmth, and of course pain could be involved in it. But when it's starting to get more chronic or excessive inflammation in the body, it may not be such obvious symptoms or signs that we pick up on. It could be inflammation at the really cellular level that we can't even see visibly on the outside of our body. It could affect people's energy level. It could affect their mood. Could have a lot of influence on more internal aspects of the body, whereas acute inflammation is pretty apparent of what's going on.
So could we say that inflammation that we see, you know, say that we fall and skin our knee and it gets red and swollen and those types of things that happen, that's going on, but just on an internal level, kind of all through the body. And that's why we don't see it.
Right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there could be signs outwardly as well when people are having more excessive inflammation and chronic inflammation. They might notice things changing in their skin or their hair, their nails. They might notice digestive issues. A lot of things could be occurring that they just might not associate or connect with the possibility of being excessive inflammation in the body.
Right. It seems like we will often bring up on the show that digestion is the root of everything. And with digestion, it also seems like inflammation is also the root of everything. So that's how I think it can get confusing for people, because we can link inflammation into just about any condition that comes up in the body.
Right.
But it's also kind of a mystery as to what really is it and what's taking place. So I think that helps, even just to think about it in terms of what we see externally, but it can be going on internally. And then this can lead to a lot of health issues that we see.
Right, yes.
And why do you think inflammation has become such a hot topic lately?
You know, that's a really good question. I think, you know, in this day and age, we are so inundated with so much information from all different areas. Our medical system has improved, and information is getting out more freely to everyone. And so there's just so much information. If you, you know, type in inflammation on the Google search or something, there's just so much out there. And the word is getting out in various ways. And some of it is really positive and beneficial and can help people understand inflammation better, but others, it might be more misleading and confusing for people.
It does seem like it's just become such a catch-all for everything. Oh,
yes.
It's inflammation. It's inflammation. So people hear that word over and over again.
Right, yeah.
And do you think that inflammation is something that really everyone should be concerned about? Or does it affect men more than women or vice versa?
I think depending on one's lifestyle, their external, what's around them in their environment, all of that can have an effect on each person. And we're all very unique, and we all respond to different influences and things coming into our body and our body system, that some may react more so than others. But I think, you know, when, you know, if someone's having a diet that's more focused, full of foods that are processed or prepackaged, that could increase their chance of having more chronic inflammation. Whereas somebody who is really focusing on more of a whole foods diet may have less. But again, it's also sleep and the environment that has an influence, medications, all those things influence.
So it's time for us to take a quick break, but stay tuned. When we return, Denise and I will share some real power foods that can help reduce inflammation in your body from the inside out. And please feel free to call in with any questions throughout the show. Our call-in number is 425-373-5527 or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-KKNW. That's 5569. We'd love to hear from you, and we'll be right back.
Passionate Nutrition offers a whole food and whole person approach to your health and wellness. Whether you're struggling with extra weight, low energy, or just want to feel your absolute best, Jennifer Adler and her Passionate Nutrition team are trained to help you every step of the way, from cooking to nutrition counseling. Located in 6 locations throughout the greater Seattle area, Passionate Nutrition has an office that's close to you. Visit PassionateNutrition.com to learn more about the nutrition services they provide, or give them a call at 206-595-0376.
Hi, I'm Martha Childress with the Natural Choice Network. Join us every Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. right here on Alternative Talk 1150. Each week, we invite leaders from our sustainable community to share their unique visions and valuable insights. You'll learn great tools to make your life greener, healthier, and more sustainable for generations to come. Thank you for making the natural choice. That's the Natural Choice Network every Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. Please join us.
Good afternoon, Seattle, and welcome to the Joper Show. I'm Joe Janot, live on Alternative Talk Radio. If you're going to have the Joper Show, you have to have On the Town with Lisa. You know, there is a lot of blogging and twittering about Seattle Sonics. I think the expansion is coming sooner than we expect. And then at the 2 o'clock hour, man, we're going to talk booms. So we brought in a cool cat from the 3 Point Production to talk about the event. Talking about a documentary. It's not any documentary. Talk about hip-hop, about the vibe of Seattle and how it sort of progressed.
We're talking food, sports, and fun every Friday, 1 to 3 here on Alternative Talk 1150 with the Jopra Show.
You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Oh, Welcome back. You're listening to Passionate Nutrition Radio. I'm Jennifer Adler, your host and a nutritionist for more than a decade. I'm here with Denise Allen, an extraordinary nutritionist at Passionate Nutrition, and we're talking about inflammation. So, Denise, does inflammation, or what are some of the most common symptoms of inflammation that people might have? I know we were talking before the break that it can really be a catch-all, but are there any telltale signs?
You know, for the more excessive inflammation in the body, it could occur with digestive or stomach issues. So having constipation or, you know, having diarrhea, those kind of things can happen. Headaches can be a really big indication as well. People having stuffiness in their sinuses, irritation in their throat, joint issues or joint pain, changes to their skin, as we mentioned earlier, and their hair.
And it seems like anything that ends in itis, like arthritis, or, you know, any itis is inflammation.
Yes, that's a good one to remember for sure.
Okay. And when people talk about inflammation, I mean, if we were just to simplify it, like, what exactly is inflamed in the body?
I would say, you know, the cells of our body are mm-hmm. inflamed. And so our cells make up so many, you know, our entire body. And so those are getting irritated and inflamed and constant attack, mm-hmm. if you think of it maybe in that way.
Right. So if somebody's having digestive issues, it could be those digestive cells are inflamed. Or if it's a joint issue, it would be more like if it's their elbow, there would be more inflamed cells in that area. Is that a way?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. And can we also, I mean, we've talked about internal inflammation and we've also talked about external inflammation, like puffy skin or, you know, skin conditions that people have had. And when you treat inflammation with your clients, what do you typically start with?
My recommendation initially is to kind of, we'll look at what types of foods they are consuming or eating on a regular basis and seeing what foods that we can maybe add in that could have a really powerful influence on their overall health. And some of the foods, maybe a lot of people that are listening have probably heard omega-3s or essential fatty acids a lot. So really talking with them, helping them decide which foods are going to provide them with omega-3s and which ones they would like and enjoy eating. And then, of course, you know, just having a real whole foods approach, so working towards incorporating more foods that are in their more original state. So eating vegetables and eating fruits and nuts and seeds, fish, you know, just focusing more on whole food options and trying to work towards decreasing the packaged and the processed foods that are so available everywhere for all of us to enjoy.
And do you feel like food can be an effective way that we can treat inflammation and help prevent it from happening?
Definitely, yeah. Our food intake can have such a huge impact on our overall health. And I know that you talk about it a lot, and you mentioned it earlier, just our how a lot of our health occurs in our digestive system, in our gut. And that's what is coming in. We're ingesting and taking in that food, and it's being changed and sent out to all of our different cells in our body to be used. And so when we provide our food with our bodies with really good, whole quality foods, that just sets up the stage for more health and decreased inflammation.
It's true. And I just love how, I mean, by changing our diet, we can make such a profound impact on how we feel. Like if somebody, like my last client yesterday, actually she came in because of severe shoulder pain. And she had done, she'd had so many appointments and lots of work, x-rays, and just a lot of medical intervention. And the interesting thing is that actually by changing her diet and having more of an anti-inflammatory diet, she's really starting to notice a difference in her level of pain. And when her pain is lower, this means that she's able to sleep much better. Because it seems like it ends up being a vicious cycle with a lot of clients. You know, they're in pain, then they can't sleep. And then when we don't sleep well, you know, this throws off our hormones and our food choices change the next day. I mean, it just turns into a vicious cycle. So it's exciting to see because we all have to eat. And when we are eating, to choose foods that can actually help our body decrease inflammation can be really powerful.
Yes, definitely. And it can definitely feel like a very vicious cycle for a lot of people. And, you know, our food choices can also create inflammation in us as well. So, you know, me personally, I have some food allergy issues. And when I realized this and I took out the foods that were causing my body to react to them in a more negative way, I started feeling better. My headaches decreased. My joint pain decreased. So there are definitely foods that are really powerful and beneficial. And then there are foods that can also cause us a little bit more inflammation if we eat those more regularly.
Right. I'll always remember I had a client that came in and she had a lot of pain. And one of the things that we really pinpointed for her was specifically sugar.
Right.
Yeah, and that sugar was the thing that when she had more sugar in her diet, that's when she had a lot of pain. And I remember how by cutting down on that, how her life really opened up, like in the sense that she could walk to the bus stop without pain, which had been unheard of for so long for her. So it's interesting to see, you know, at Passionate Nutrition, we tend to have the philosophy of adding food and not taking away and not, you know, that's the thing that I know Denise and I see a lot is that when a client comes in to see us and we'll ask them, you know, well, why don't you tell us about a typical day of eating for you? And they'll say, and they'll laugh and they'll say, well, a typical day or what I ate yesterday because I knew I was going to come see you. So yesterday I had pizza and vodka and I drank a bunch of beer and then I had brownies with whipped cream and jam because I knew that you were going to take everything away when I saw you. And that's always so interesting to me when people say that because our philosophy is really not to take food away, but to try to add. You know, if we keep adding food that we want, then it doesn't set up deprivation, and we often can achieve our goals that way. But what Denise and I are talking about in terms of inflammation, actually sometimes there are situations where taking out a particular food can be a night and day difference. And it sounds like, Denise, you've seen that with yourself and with clients as well.
Yes, definitely. I know that last summer I just couldn't figure out why I was having so much joint pain and things that were going on with me, and I was not at a healthy state. And I started to think about what changes I could make because I was already incorporating, you know, a lot of whole foods, and I was eating fruits and vegetables, and I was eating regularly, and I was really trying to figure it out. And for me, it came down to I had to really reduce the amount of gluten that I was taking in. But I know definitely I've heard sugar can have quite an impact on people as well. So not everybody is going to find that taking a food out is going to change it for them. And so going back to how important it is to really make sure that we're adding in those foods that are going to be the most beneficial and the most impactful on our overall health is really important.
But I think what you're describing happens for a lot of people. You know, it can be incredibly frustrating where someone will have changed to more of a whole foods diet. They're eating more natural foods, you know, where they can read the ingredients and they know what it is. Maybe they're cooking more from scratch and not getting the results that they want. And then that's when, and especially if there is inflammation and pain going on, that's when there can be something deeper, like one of those foods can be problematic.
Right.
But the nice thing about that, too, is that, you know, what we work on with Passionate Nutrition, when somebody does have a food that they're sensitive to or their body isn't liking, that we'll work on healing and repairing the digestive tract so that hopefully, you know, with time, the digestive system can get healed and repaired. So taking that food out doesn't mean a life sentence. You know, it doesn't mean that the client has to forever avoid that food. It just means that while their digestive tract is healing, they can cut it out. And then, who knows, they might have it again. Have you seen that with clients as well, Denise?
Yes. And for myself, too, last summer I would take in, you know, a piece of bread and instantly my joint pain would increase within, you know, a half hour of eating the bread. And now I can have small amounts here and there. So right now I'm kind of testing the waters and seeing how my body reacts to reintroducing the gluten and seeing if I can now better tolerate it and better utilize it in my body.
I found that for myself as well. I really notice that if I have sugar, if it's too high of a quantity of sugar, my neck and my shoulders and my back really start to hurt, and I feel it immediately. But I also notice that there's a threshold. You know, it has to be a certain amount of sugar, and also it seems the quality of whatever it is makes a difference. So I know for myself, or when talking with clients, what I'll really recommend is making sure it's worth it. You know, if it's something like some of you listening know, I have a particular fixation on double-baked chocolate croissants. That's my current love affair. And so if it's a double-baked chocolate croissant, I'm all over it, and I'm going to eat it and enjoy it. But, you know, if it's something, a store-bought cake that somebody brought to a party, that, you know, that's something I'm going to avoid.
Right, yes. Yeah, I definitely encourage people to really choose foods that are going to make them feel, you know, excited and really satisfied after eating it, because that's so important when we're making food choices as well. Food's there to nourish our body, but it's also there to really make us have enjoyment in our life as well. For centuries, it's been a part of socializing and get-togethers and family tradition. So it's very mixed into all different parts of our lives.
Right. And we don't want to be all about deprivation, but just because those parts of our life, the connection and socializing that comes with food is important, but it also sounds like being very conscious. And if something is causing us pain or inflammation, just where we decide if it's worth it. Sometimes it's worth it and sometimes it's not.
Right.
Now it's time for us to take a quick break. So stay tuned. When we return, Denise and I will share some other power foods that can immediately reduce inflammation in our body from the inside out. And as always, please feel free to call in with any questions throughout the show. Our call-in number is 425-373-5527, or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-KKNW. That's 5569. We'd love to hear from you, and we'll be right back.
Fire in the gates of hell.
Does losing weight feel like a never-ending battle that you just can't win? Or maybe you want to have more energy and improve your health? Well, now you can do it all, and it may be covered by your health insurance. Passionate Nutrition can help you lose weight and look and feel fantastic. It's time for a new dieting approach, not a battle, one that's sustainable, realistic, and good for you. Passionate Nutrition is a custom nutrition-based program from Seattle nutritionist and your host on Passionate Nutrition Radio, Jennifer Adler, a nationally recognized nutrition consultant for ABC TV's Nightline. Jennifer has designed a breakthrough concept in nutrition and health nutrition counseling that creates a safe, custom-tailored success plan using fresh foods and easy-to-prepare tasty meals. No gimmicks or expensive supplements. Follow-up sessions help your long-term success. 6 locations and coverage by most insurance plans. For affordable and realistic health and safe weight loss, go to PassionateNutrition.com.
If you love dogs, tune in to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, live every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. We'll talk about everything dog and interview authors, experts, and amazing organizations, both locally and nationally. And don't even get me started on the pet food industry. I'm Julie Forbes. Find us online at www.dogradioshow.com and also as a free podcast on iTunes. The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, an evolved perspective on life with dogs.
Hi, I'm Pat Pauley. Tune into my show, Get Active, each Tuesday at 12 noon on Alternative Talk, 1150. Each week, we invite a guest to talk about one of the wonderful activities in the Puget Sound region, ones that you may want to participate in. We'll focus on how adult beginners can comfortably get into all of these activities. You'll learn a lot about how you can get active. Be sure to listen. That's Get Active with me, Pat Pauley, at 12 noon each Tuesday on Alternative Talk. Talk 1150.
Want to hear something different from talk radio? The choice is clear. Alternative Talk 1150 AM. Taco Bell.
Fire the disco. Fire the disco. Welcome back. You're listening to Passionate Nutrition Radio. I'm Jennifer Adler, your host and a nutritionist for more than a decade. I'm here with Denise Allen, an extraordinary nutritionist at Passionate Nutrition, and we've been talking all about inflammation. So, Denise, what are some of your top power anti-inflammatory foods?
The first one that definitely comes to mind is, and I mentioned it briefly earlier as well, is foods that have the omega-3 fatty acids in them. And one of the most probably well-known ones is wild salmon. And I know, especially, you know, us living here in the Northwest, this is more available to us and can be really a great thing to incorporate into our week. And then, of course, other fish like halibut, that will be included, sardines, other cold water fish as well.
Love sardines.
I know you do. Maybe you could give some good ideas on how people can enjoy the sardines as well.
Well, sardines, actually, I may have mentioned this before, and I didn't realize that I was getting a reputation, but a woman came into the office, and she sat down, and she said, I already know that you're going to tell me to eat sardines. And I wondered, you know, I guess word is getting out, but they're so economical, and they're really high in omega-3s. And there's ways that you can make them very tasty. I mean, some people, I mean, actually, if we go back through history, which I think this is fascinating how our feelings about sardines have changed, they used to be given as a reward to students when they answered a question correctly.
Oh, my gosh. I did not know that.
Yeah, so a teacher would walk around, and she would have her sardines, and the kids would have a little a cup turns up upside down on their desk. And for each question they got right, she would give them a sardine, and they would go crazy for it. And it's interesting because now I still find that kids really like sardines up until they go to school. Once they go to school, you know, everything changes in terms of, ooh, gross, and, you know, all of those types of things. But I think they can go over much better than we think they will with kids. But for adults, even adding it in tapenade, you know, where you have a olive tapenade, where it's just, you can buy a tapenade already made, or you can make it where you just, it's chopped up olives, garlic, olive oil, you know, salt. And, you know, by adding the sardines in there or with other strong flavors like mustard, or even adding sardines into a pasta sauce, that's a classic combination. You know, if you add it to other strong flavors, then if you are concerned about sardines, then you might not notice it as much.
Yes, I know when I've mentioned sardines to people, they're like, oh, I can't even look at them in the little tin can.
Right.
So, yeah, definitely blending them into things would be some great options.
And I'll even make a sardine salad, too, like I would a tuna or a salmon salad.
Okay, interesting.
Mm-hmm. So what are other anti-inflammatory foods that you like?
Well, there are some plant sources that can provide us with a type of omega-3 as well. And so those are walnuts and flax seeds, pumpkin seeds. So we can eat those plant-based foods as well. And, you know, pumpkin seeds are a great snack to have. I know a lot of kids love eating them too. And they can be thrown into oatmeal in the morning. They can be made into a trail mix with the walnuts and some other fun things for the family to enjoy. Added pumpkin seeds to salads. There's a lot of different ways to increase intake of nuts and seeds.
Great. And Denise, I'm just going to stop you briefly. I'd like to take our caller, Janice in Kirkland. Thank you so much for calling Passionate Nutrition Radio.
Hi. I have a question regarding, I used to suffer from vertigo, and I had that for about 4 years, and finally they discovered I had inflammation in one of my ears. Mm-hmm. And I took steroids every 3 months for about 2 weeks, and now I am on a diuretic pill, which I basically have to be on for life, they said, in order to keep the inflammation down. No more steroids, but I take this pill. Do you think there'd be any kind of solution to get off of the medication?
Well, Janice, that's a really good question. And the nice thing is, by trying it out, it's not going to hurt anything. I mean, that's one of the things I love about nutrition is that the side effects tend to be positive. So one of the things that you could do is you could focus on an anti-inflammatory diet. You know, so really incorporating a lot of the foods that Denise is talking about and maybe even doing some testing to see if there is a food that your body does not like.
Right.
And then the good thing about this, when you get your blood work done, it's very likely that your doctor is doing inflammatory tests. Maybe your doctor is checking C-reactive protein levels or other inflammatory markers. So through this, it might be that your inflammation could come down enough that your doctor would say, okay, we can adjust your medications. But trying, there's no hurt in trying.
Had you ever heard of the inflammation near causing vertigo?
Yes. Yes, that's
okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's great. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Janice, for calling.
Okay, bye.
Bye. So, Denise, you were talking about nuts and seeds. So what would be another power food that you would want to add?
You know, a lot of people may not be aware of this. We typically just eat the beef from, you know, in the grocery store that's just the everyday beef. But if we choose beef that is raised on grass, so grass-fed meats, they can also provide us with some omega-3 fatty acids as well. So that might be another one to think about.
Well, and that's a nice one for people that don't like fish. So if you don't like fish, having grass-fed meat.
Right, yes. So that's a nice one to think about, too. But so those are all about getting the omega-3 fatty acids into our meals throughout the week. But other things that we can do to really have an impact as well is to really try to incorporate a lot of color into our diet. So where do we get color from? We get it from our fruits and our vegetables. Our vegetables, for sure, can definitely the little powerhouses of nutrients that our bodies need, so vitamins, minerals that our bodies need to help with the inflammation process and with the healing process. So probably a lot of people hear it a lot if they're listening to your radio station regularly, but leafy greens, so kale has a ton of vitamins and minerals in it. You know, spinach, they're the dark leafy greens. Those can be really powerful as well. And eating a rainbow. So trying to get a variety of fruits and vegetables in that is just going to give you different colors of produce would be really beneficial.
So would it be safe to say that the deeper, the darker the color, the more anti-inflammatory properties it likely has?
Yes. Yeah, definitely more antioxidants in them. Then it's just more vitamins and minerals.
And what about things like spices? I mean, because those also have a lot of color.
Yeah, spices can be great additions to, you know, our dinner, our lunch, anything throughout the day. Even, you know, adding spices in the morning, adding cinnamon to your oatmeal and adding turmeric to the rice when that we're cooking for dinner. And
that always makes it look so much nicer, because you know how rice can just be kind of bland on the plate, how it looks?
Yes.
But then if you add the turmeric with it, it just adds a little pizzazz.
Right. Kind of brings out that yellowy orange color.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so spices definitely, you know, adding herbs as well, cilantro, basil, those, rosemary, all of them can really have nice benefits for us.
And I like the idea of adding herbs and spices as well, because it's something that, you know, we can add into our everyday foods, just like you were saying with the rice or the oatmeal. You know, that's a great way to add it in. Or even, you know, I've had clients recently that are making turmeric tea or cinnamon tea, you know, just as a way to get more of the anti-inflammatory components and the antioxidants in their life too. Because it seems like, you know, sometimes getting the vegetables in, people do their best, but it can be challenging. Whereas
Definitely.
Making a tea, it seems like people can take the time to do that.
Yes. Yeah, and the teas are very simple, and they're very portable, and you can take them with you wherever you go. That's a good option for sure.
And so with the tea, I know it's probably different for a lot of people, but you can take water or milk or, you know, anything, even coconut milk, and then just heat it up and add in some turmeric and a little bit of honey and just drink that as a tea. Or the same thing with cinnamon, and it can be really flavorful. And the amazing thing is, I mean, actually, I always love this, but you can get more antioxidants in cinnamon, you know, having a serving of cinnamon, than a cup of blueberries. So
that's pretty impressive, huh?
Right. So the nice thing about that is we can go ahead and add in those colors, like what Denise is talking about, and add in those spices as well. You know, get a double whammy.
Yes, definitely.
So it's time for us to take another quick break, and stay tuned. When we return, we'll share some of the most powerful changes you can make in your diet to reduce inflammation, and we'll be right back, so stay with us. Research shows that every parent's concerns about their kids' well-being, from good nutrition to obesity to achievements in school, can be drastically improved by simply eating and chatting around the dinner table. But with mealtime tantrums, conflicting schedules, force feedings, and short-order cooking, this task can seem daunting. Passionate Nutrition offers private consulting and individually tailored nutrition coaching that is often covered by insurance to help your children cultivate a healthy relationship with food that will set them up for lifelong healthy eating. Learn simple tips to nourish your children with balanced, creative, sustainable meal ideas. Our nutritionists can help clarify misinformation about food to reduce the anxiety surrounding meals so that families can connect at mealtimes instead of waging all-out war at the dinner table. For more information, go to PassionateNutrition.com.
Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
There's an exciting new astrology hour, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. with Deborah Silverman. Deborah's unique blend of psychology and astrology turns planetary language into plain English. Join us for an interactive hour that's guaranteed to give you personal insights in a fun and entertaining way. Tune in to Deborah Silverman Live. Whatever your life question, marriage, job, family, relocation, or just curiosity, call for a live reading Tuesdays at 5 p.m. and visit Deborah's website at DeborahSilvermanAstrology.com.
Tell your friends the place to be is Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.
I want to live with a cinnamon girl. I can be happy the rest of my life with a cinnamon girl.
Welcome back. You're listening to Passionate Nutrition Radio. I'm Jennifer Adler, your host and a nutritionist for more than a decade. I'm here with Denise Allen, an extraordinary nutritionist at Passionate Nutrition, and we're talking about inflammation. So, Denise, how quickly can people expect to see or feel changes once they've added some anti-inflammatory foods in their diet? Like, what if they're really taking a special effort to incorporate these?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm sure a lot of people are thinking about this. It's like, well, if I add these foods in, how quickly can I see any change? So definitely, if they're making great efforts and incorporating these foods into their daily diet, they could potentially see changes occurring within a few weeks, like 2 weeks. But then again, everyone is pretty unique, and we each have our own experience with how we respond to changes that are that we're making for our bodies and for our health. So we generally say, you know, we should see some improvements within a few weeks.
Okay. And it seems like, too, if somebody was really, like, if they were doing, say they were testing specific foods to see if there's something that causes them problems, could it be faster then?
Yeah, it definitely could be. It, you know, when we test foods to see if there is a reaction, we usually try to have them out of the diet for several weeks. And so it does take a few weeks to see changes from adding foods in, and it does can take a few weeks to see changes from removing foods as well.
Okay. And are there any specific foods that we should be avoiding or that we should really have in moderation because they can contribute more to inflammation than others?
Right, yes. One of the ones that really comes to mind is what are called trans fats. They are these fats that really don't occur naturally in any of our foods that we consume. So they're created and they're made. They take the oils and make them a solid. And they do this because it's cheap and it also is very shelf stable, and it can be a really economical way for restaurants to fry their foods as well. And so we can find trans fats in things we think about like margarine, in commercial baked goods, so cookies and crackers, things like that. And then in fried foods at some of the restaurants, specifically like fast food restaurants. So trans fats can really have an effect on our overall health. And they're starting to now be more aware of trans fats and trying to decrease the trans fats that we're eating. But when you're buying packaged foods, it's always a good idea just to look at the ingredient list. And if you were to see the words partially hydrogenated oil, that's a really good indication that there are trans fats in that food.
So that would be something to avoid if you're trying to cut down on inflammation.
Yes. So that would be one of the biggest ones that comes to mind for sure is the trans fats. And you mentioned earlier that sugar can really have a negative impact on inflammation as well. And then there's others like the corn oil or safflower oil or soy or cottonseed oil. Our diets are so full of those already that if we can start decreasing our intake of those, that could have some benefits as well.
And it also, I guess we could add in there what we were talking about earlier in terms of for each individual, there can be a specific food that for most people might be just fine, but for them can be inflammatory.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in terms of testing, some of our listeners might be thinking, well, how do I test these foods to see if something, if I am reacting to something? And we would recommend that's actually a time to come in for an appointment because, you know, it takes a lot of support to figure that out. You know, it's people can often get confused and it can be a little bit of a challenging process. And so to have support to figure out which foods those might be can be really helpful. And at the same time, it can be very powerful because once we do find out what it is, if it is a particular food, it might be that taking one thing out of the diet, like we said earlier, could be night and day.
Right, definitely. Yes, it definitely is an area that people really need support in. Even, you know, myself trying to figure things out on my own, it can be very frustrating and it can be overwhelming, and you're trying to learn and think of new ways to make meals that you and your family were used to. Definitely getting that support from a nutritionist can be very helpful.
Right. And sometimes, so if we reacted to a specific food, for example, what if it was gluten? You know, sometimes if it's in a sprouted form, it's not going to be problematic. Or if it's dairy that somebody's reacting to, well, they might find that if it's a fermented dairy product or, you know, an aged cheese or something like that, that actually it's not a problem at all. So one of the things at Passionate Nutrition is we love for people to live in abundance with food and not to have deprivation. I mean, I think it's actually kind of painful for us to take things out of people's diets, but when it does make a significant impact, it can be worth it. But what we do is we try to help people come up with their typical foods that they eat, you know, and find ways that they can have them where the family still likes them and it's avoiding that food or
right.
having substitutes.
Mm-hmm.
So Denise, what are the three most powerful changes we can make to our diets to reduce inflammation in our body? If you were going to put it in the number three, what would that be?
In three, huh? You know, probably the easiest one that may not seem as overwhelming or as a drastic change in somebody's routine of what they typically eat is adding cod liver oil. So taking that as an addition to their day can really have a big impact to start the process. That would be one thing that I would think about.
And if somebody was doing cod liver oil, would you be thoughtful as to where it comes from?
Yes, we definitely want to select ones that are going to be from a good quality source. I'm drawing a blank. I'm sorry. Nordic something.
Nordic Naturals.
Yes, thank you. Nordic Naturals or Carlson. They both have cod liver oils that are available in, you know, various health health sections at the stores around here.
And the nice thing about those brands is they do a lot of quality testing as far as heavy metals and PCBs. So ways to make sure that the quality of the fish oil. I think there's a lot of studies out there that come up in terms of fish oil. And I think one important component is the quality of where it is coming from.
Definitely.
Because what Denise is bringing up with cod liver oil, people have had throughout history. I mean, actually, I was in Iceland last summer, and it was interesting for me to see that, you know, breakfast would be provided in the morning and there would be a buffet. And then on the buffet, there would be a bottle of cod liver oil with little shot glasses, you know, and that's just part of their life. So people have been consuming cod liver oil throughout history. So what would be another change?
You know, that definitely is going to depend on the person for sure. What they feel comfortable including into their daily routine or into their week. So it could be if they like fish, getting that wild caught salmon and having that a couple times a week or another cold water wild caught fish. But definitely the simple things of just having spices and herbs and adding them into their casseroles or their stews or their soups that they're already having to just add beneficial nutrients and a lot of wonderful flavor. That's another good one.
And any specifically that you use? I mean, just thinking about the inflammation that you've experienced with headaches and pain, is there something that you like to have in your diet that you know makes a big difference for you?
I just really enjoy eating cilantro. That's definitely one that I like to include in my foods. But, you know, the other thing, several years ago was at a health store that provided salads, and they had basil, just little chopped up basil in their salad. And that was just so delicious to have that extra little pop of flavor in the salad.
Well, Denise, thank you so much for joining me today and for sharing all of your insights and great tips on how to combat inflammation. It's been a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, so please join us next week for Passionate Nutrition Radio, and we'll be sharing some tips on how to boost your metabolism and get your body running at its optimal level. And I also just wanted to mention that we have our seaweed and wild foraging trip coming up in a couple of weeks in August. And it was oversold for so many weeks. I've been turning people away. And we just had a group of four that has changed their reservation. And because we were so oversold, I wasn't keeping a waiting list, which is horrible on my part. It's a learning lesson. So we have those spots now open. So if anybody's interested, please let us know. And you can learn more about Passionate Nutrition at passionatenutrition.com or give us a call at 206-595-0376. Thank you for listening and have a great week.